You know, as we reported at the top of the program tonight, Lloyd's Insurance has begun a landmark legal case against Saudi Arabia, accusing the kingdom of indirectly funding Al-Qaeda and demanding the repayment of $215 million that it paid out the victims of the 9/11 attacks. The detailed case, which names a number of prominent Saudi charities and banks, as well as a leading member of the Al Saud royal family, will surely cause embarrassment to the Saudi government, which has long denied claims that Osama bin Laden's organization received any official financial and practical support from his native country. And also, former Senator Bob Graham is urging the president to reopen the investigation into the Saudi role in the 9/11 attacks. Look, we went into Afghanistan because they harbored Osama bin Laden. We went into Iraq because we claim that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, which he didn't have. Do you think we'll go into Saudi Arabia now over this? Nah, it's not going to happen. Up next, Craig Hewlett joins us. We'll get his insight on this on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Craig Hewlett was both speechwriter and special assistant for special projects to Congressman Jack Metcalf, retired now, consultant to federal law enforcement. He remains a paid analyst and consultant in various areas of geopolitical, business, and security issues. And that's where we turn to him so often. Craig Hewlett with us for 2 hours tonight on Coast to Coast. Craig, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
This breaking story about Lloyd's suing Saudi Arabia for funding the 9/11 attacks, unbelievable. But you know what? We probably suspected that, didn't we?
Well, I never, ever believed there wasn't nation-state involvement in 9/11. In fact, during this, was it a centennial, whatever it is, 10 years later, everybody was asking the questions anew about where they were. Well, I'll tell you exactly what I did that morning as soon as I found out about the attacks as they were going, is I called a special agent that was in charge of intel in a hotel room in a different state. He was working on something outside of the state of Washington. I've known him for 25 years. I called him, woke him up out of bed, said, turn on the TV, and as we watched it together over the telephone, I told him there was no way this was done without nation-state involvement.
You're right. And there could be more than just Saudi Arabia involved.
Definitely. There really could be quite a few, as a matter of fact. Pakistan is definitely one that has been on our Pentagon's radar. We give them money constantly, but as you go through this 150-page brief by Lloyd's of London, it's incredible the work these lawyers have managed to surface. It's one of the best research documents I've ever read. I've been through a lot.
They did a better job, Craig, than the 9/11 Commission.
Absolutely. In fact, it's a shame we didn't have those kind of British lawyers on our team. But these guys did a remarkable job of tracking by name individuals, cousins, aunts, uncles of bin Laden's, members that were hijackers, friends of hijackers, families, Saudi families that were living in the very cities where some of the hijackers frequented, and the fact that some of the Saudi families and bin Laden family were assisted in escaping the United States beginning 2 weeks before the attacks were hit.
Jeez. You know, we went into Afghanistan, as I mentioned, to get Osama bin Laden. We went into Iraq because of this fictitious weapons of mass destruction hoax. Do you think we'll go into Saudi Arabia and punish them for this?
Absolutely not.
No, I agree.
Absolutely
not. Won't even think about it.
This is one of the ugliest parts of the whole scenario. I've put together a 300-page briefing paper on this because in a PDF format, because I think it's probably one of the most significant things to take place since 9/11 itself. And a couple of the things that have come out is that Bob Graham openly now states, even though from the very beginning he said there was nation-state involvement, but the FBI came into the commission, took all of their files related to nation-states, and classified them for 30 years.
30 years?
30 years.
Is this like the Kennedy assassination?
Precisely.
Jeez.
And that's exactly what Bob Graham said. He was asked in an NPR interview at the time. This is 8 years ago. 8 years ago, he was asked, well, when will these documents be made public? He said, well, 30 years. Even though now we're looking at this, we find out that other documents were held back from the commission that he co-chaired on 9/11. The FBI held back documents showing that Saudi members of the Saudi family actually had relationships with some of the hijackers in their homes. And the lawsuit with Lloyd's of London exposes the numerous instances, right down to how much money went from Saudi family members through charities directly into what we now call Al-Qaeda members. And this is incredible. But the other thing that came out, George Bush Jr. himself personally intervened and saw to it that this information would never be made public.
Unbelievable. Criminal, I think.
If we had a country that was based on the rule of law, Bush Jr. would already be indicted.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
But of course, he'd then be pardoned by
the next president. That's right. What about this, Craig? Why wasn't Osama bin Laden ever charged with anything, ever put on the FBI's most wanted list, as they did to him because of the embassy bombings in 1998? Why didn't they ever do that because of 9/11?
Okay, well, not just myself. I did this a long, long time ago. I called the FBI, and I asked the public affairs officer there why bin Laden was not charged by the FBI, indicted by the FBI. No grand jury ever came together on 9/11 with Osama bin Laden's name. And I was told point blank, we don't have any evidence that he was involved. Since then, a number of congressmen, professors, even Noam Chomsky, who I'm not a real big fan of, Noam Chomsky, but others, contacted the FBI as well. And they were all told precisely the same thing.
Not enough evidence. So
there was no evidence.
So we apparently go and find him a few months ago, shoot him, kill him, and he was never charged with anything.
Well, here's the most important thing to understand about shooting the assassination. Let's call it what it is. It was an assassination of Osama bin Laden. It's the same thing that when I was posing the question of weapons of mass destruction, I told audiences at the time when Bush was saying that we're going to invade, I said, and this may sound odd, but this is the way analysis works in many cases. If we were to send ground troops into Iraq, that would be evidence that he does not have weapons of mass destruction.
How come?
Because if he'd had chemical or biological weapons, we would have had to bomb them into the Stone Age, and we would never have put ground troops on the ground.
He would have used them against us.
Because he would have used them against us, yeah, if he had them. So see, the opposite was true. Well, the opposite holds true here as well. We assassinated Osama bin Laden because he did not have anything to do with 9/11.
Why didn't he ever publicly come out? Was he because he was on the lam and simply say, I didn't have anything to do with this?
Well, to begin with, Al-Qaeda never existed the way Bush told us to begin with. There's never been an organization named Al-Qaeda pre-9/11. That name came out in a court case. It was used for the first World Trade Center bombing attack with the blind sheikh.
Right.
To prosecute him and the perpetrators of that first bombing attempt, we had to use the RICO Act. But you can't use the RICO Act unless it's an organization. So we named it Al-Qaeda, and we created a fictitious organ and named it something so we could use the RICO Act.
Ah.
But now it's common language. We're forced, literally forced. I have to use it. I have to use the language that I said on September 20th, refuting Bush's first terrorism speech in 2001, I stated in that interview that Al-Qaeda doesn't exist, and bin Laden could not have done it. Now I'm having to say Al-Qaeda, right along with everybody else.
That's right.
Because it's common usage now, so I'm stuck just like everyone else. But does there exist a network of terrorists that have bloody murder on their minds and a jihad against America? Absolutely true.
Of course. Funded by what we're beginning to find out now, these countries and these individuals within some of these countries.
And Saudi Arabia in particular. We're talking about well over $100 million. If you go through the entire legal brief and take all the different areas where these lawyers prove that certain sums of money was actually transferred from a Saudi charity or from a prince or from a bank or an agency, it's $100 million. It goes back 20 years. They were funding the groups in Chechnya. They were funding groups, the Mujahideen, fighting the Soviets. And they've been doing this the whole time.
Absolutely. You know, they would be very smart if they cut a deal and settled out of court and sealed it, they could.
That would probably be a smart move on their part. But, you know, I'm holding out and hoping that some judge actually puts it in a courtroom.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could just see the Saudis now telling their attorneys, end it right now. They're being sued by Lloyd's for $215 million. That's nothing.
That's nothing. No, in fact, it's the content that's the deadly part, which is that I think is the most extraordinary part. It's the content of this legal brief that goes so much further than all of us put together, and the CIA and the FBI and the 9/11 Commission wouldn't willingly come out and state at the time. These lawyers have done the work that our security, national security, homeland security, should already have done and made public.
I'd be bombing them right now if I was running this country. I'd be bombing Saudi Arabia right now. Now, okay, that may sound stupid.
That's the part that's most irritating. This is also going to prove, if you've got sense enough to pay attention to this, unless you're an absolute fan of George Bush, Republican, and there's no way you're going to ever admit to any of this, any normal thinking person is going to look at this and go, clearly, we started out from the very beginning with political objectives that Bush, the Bush family, pre-Bush White House, going all the way back to Bush Sr., we've had political objectives and an agenda in the Middle East that includes Iran, encircling, isolating Iran, controlling the two largest rivers through Iraq, making sure that a pipeline goes through Afghanistan, not through Iran. You know, we've got an agenda that's been painted clearly by other analysts and myself for a decade, and we've been poo-pooed. By the way, that's a legal term.
That's right.
Poo-pooed.
But you've been right.
But we've all been dead on right.
Yep.
And but without programs like yours, George, what does it mean to be right these days?
I just hope people are listening in Washington, D.C., Craig, and I know they are, and they're just turning saying, oh, my God, we got to do something about this. This should be one of the biggest stories for the next several months, and it shouldn't stop, especially on the mainstream media. And I bet it gets buried.
It's already getting buried. In fact, all of this came out on the 12th. I was doing interviews on the 11th because of the 10-year anniversary, but on the 12th is when the legal brief was released. It was on the 12th that Bob Graham finally went public with the information he had in hand, and by the 16th, there was Obama standing next to the King Saud saying that we have a special relationship that's going to continue for decades.
Do you remember when 9/11 occurred and a group of Saudis, family members of the royal family, all jumped on a plane and they were gone?
Yes. In fact, some of them left 2 weeks before 9/11.
Yeah.
2 weeks before.
I wonder what they knew.
And including bin Laden family members. That's the other thing about it. You know, Osama bin Laden and the Saudi royal regime hate each other. But other members of bin Laden's family and other members of the Saud family,
they love each other.
They love each other. They're all Saudis. They all make money together.
Yeah.
You know, a prince runs, you know, the industry end of it for the government, but a bin Laden family member is the engineer in the construction company.
Sure. Well, it was bin Laden's father who was chum with the king of Saudi Arabia at the time.
Precisely. So why would George Bush Jr. personally intervene and make sure the Saudi families and bin Laden family members got out of the country before 9/11?
That's amazing. So Bob Graham, former senator, is calling for a reopened investigation, not only, I hope, into the Saudi role, but I would hope everything tied into this. Will he succeed? I don't think so.
No, I'm afraid not.
It'll fall on deaf ears.
Obama is not interested. I knew everybody was going to be dead wrong when he became president, that there was big changes afoot, that because he was a Democrat and he was black and, you know, everybody pretended that he had a background as a liberal. I never saw any of that data that said he was a liberal. But I also knew, I said then, immediately after the election, he will not only do everything that Bush would have done, he's going to do more, and he will go further than Bush ever could have done because of the fact that he is the first black president and a Democrat.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right about that. So where does this lead, Craig? What's going to happen?
Well, several things are going to happen. Terrorism is going to escalate. Al-Qaeda is going to actually become more of the Al-Qaeda
that they said it was.
That they said it was going to be. We're actually going to create it. I think the Saudi family will change how they fund these groups and how the charities are functioning. But I think all of this is going to escalate. This tells me that our country is in a very serious manner. I really hate sounding alarmist, but I really get a sense that my country is now at that kind of a place Weimar Germany was after they elected Hitler to office. And as they saw the things developing under his regime, a lot of Germans had to look at it and say, well, this country no longer represents me. Now, you can fight it, try to vote it out of office, or you can leave the country. In this instance, most of them came to America. Now our country is acting like the renegade. Our country is acting like an imperialist regime. Our country is bombing other countries into the Stone Age for reasons that are now proven to be absolute lies, and the president knew it.
All of them. Didn't President Obama say, even in this movement into Libya, it'll just be weeks?
But he also lied on the most heinous level. Let me put it that way. On the worst kind of level. He's actually pretending and going along with this fiction that the particular rebels involved that we're backing and that NATO and American intelligence is backing, that these are somehow people with a humanitarian stripe. And the worst part about it is there's an ethnic cleansing going on. The rebels are slaughtering black Libyans, black Africans of any nature if they're in Libya, and they're just beheading them. In fact, a former congressman was there from Michigan recently, and he actually saw French and British intelligence operatives, special ops, killing blacks right along with the rebels.
And nobody's doing anything about it.
He's not getting any press either. And like I said, just last Friday, after all of this information came out, all between the 12th and the 14th, all of this information's coming out. Bob Graham, myself, I'm back at it again. The lawsuit, it came out about Obama's executive order, and it came out finally again about how many CIA aircraft have crashed, mostly in Mexico, but all throughout Latin America and Florida.
Are they drones?
No, they're carrying cocaine again.
Oh, my God.
Just like Vietnam.
Let's talk about that when we come back, Craig, because I've always sensed that was a major issue, and I guess we know where it's coming from, Afghanistan, isn't it? We'll be back in a moment. Craig Hewlett on Coast to Coast AM. Final hour, we'll take your phone calls with him. His book, The Hydra of Change, his website, CraigBHewlett.com, is linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, and next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Craig Hewlett as we talk about these incredible stories, Lloyd's of London suing Saudi Arabia and some other related parties there. Up next, we'll talk about why some CIA planes continue to crash and what was in those planes. And welcome back to Coast, we're with Craig Hewlett. Craig, the Taliban, when they were running the store in Afghanistan, drastically reduced, if not almost eliminated, the poppy production for heroin and all other kinds of drugs, right?
That's correct. In fact, they were praised by the United Nations for exactly that, and there was even a ceremony held at the UN because of it. They did it through Basically, their religious beliefs and pressure precludes them from participating in illegal activity like growing drugs, stuff for drugs like that.
And, so, yeah. And since we are in there, that poppy production, it's gone way back up, right?
It's gone back up to even higher level than when the Northern Alliance was running the country in behalf of the Soviet Union. But, of course, part of the reason the drugs were increased when the Northern Alliance was in control of the Soviet Union was our CIA and our affiliates working with the Mujahideen wanted to see the drugs increase in Afghanistan, and the drugs were, of course, sold directly to Russian soldiers.
Amazing.
And now,
just to wipe them out.
Precisely. And, and now the opposite is true. They're back growing it, but in this case, the heroin and the cocaine that's made from heroin, the crack, it's being distributed by the Taliban now, and the government itself, Karzai, isn't doing anything to stop it. It's coming to American shores.
Jeez.
It's coming here through CIA flights, including, this is the most amazing part of these number of jet crashes that have taken place, including a Gulfstream II. That crashed a couple of years ago in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. All of these flights not only are carrying huge amounts, this one flight had 3 tons of cocaine alone.
Is that why you think it went down? It was overweighted?
No, they've went down. A couple of them went down because they were in pursuit by Air Force and Customs agent flights that were trying to take it down, or engine trouble, crashed. But they've also been linked, you know, they're running the drugs in one direction, and these are private companies, you understand. These are CIA contractors, these airlines. And some of this took place during a sting operation with our DEA and the CIA working in Mexico called the Mayan Express. But in between these flights, they were also taking detainees from Guantanamo Bay to places like Libya to be tortured. And then they would come back, pick up some cocaine, drop it off in Florida, go back to Guantanamo Bay, pick up another CIA capture, take this one to Syria, and on and on and on.
Interesting. Interesting, interesting. How much money do you think they've been generating on the illicit drug trade?
It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, why are they doing it? Why would they do this? You know,
it's free money for them.
It is. That's the most obvious. They're funded by black ops. They do get money directly from our government to run black ops, but nobody knows how much they're getting. And we've extended our special operations groups now to 120 nations. And Obama is even going further and expanding it throughout the northern reaches of Africa and the Arab Peninsula. And we've got more special ops and CIA operatives, contractors as well, in more countries than ever before in our history, and it's escalated under Obama.
Are other countries trying to do this, Craig, or are we the only ones doing these things?
Britain's involved to some degree, Great Britain, but we only know that how deeply America and Great Britain is involved,
right?
Because France is a distant third. And France is upset about that. So they're calling on the United Nations to have some international rules, not to stop America and Great Britain, but to level the playing field so France can get in on it.
They all want their hand in the cookie jar, don't they?
But this is the combination of running cocaine and drugs into the United States for Americans to consume, while this flight is on the flip side being used for extraordinary rendition flights, whereby prisoners are covertly transferred by the U.S. to a third country to be tortured. We're getting in an area now where I hate using biblical terms, but this is getting downright evil, and this is public knowledge now. This is well-known, well-documented, provable data. This isn't me speculating or using my skills of analysis to come up with an explanation.
Right.
Any
longer. This is not your gut.
No, this isn't my gut any longer. You know, I started out doing it that way. I knew Bin Laden couldn't have done it, and I knew he didn't do it. But a lot of it was raw analysis of data. But now the data has gotten to the point where we've got evidence being collected that absolutely proves that Saudi Arabia was behind 9/11. Now, that doesn't mean that some of those people we now call Al-Qaeda members weren't who they say they were.
Right.
That's not the point. But none of this could have happened for the last 20 years without hundreds of millions of dollars from the Saudi royal family. And I'm talking $20 million at a pop.
Why would Saudi Arabia even consider doing that to us? What do they want?
A, the Saudi regime and most Arab leaders were Machiavellian before we ever heard of Machiavelli.
Right.
They've always operated this. They'll change sides against each other on a whim. They're very, very, they're chess masters. And they're playing America for fools.
They're tribal.
But the fools that are being fooled don't have a problem with this. The Bush family is so deeply embedded in the belief that the Saudi family is the wave of the future. This medieval royalty, this comic show royalty of, you know, 30 wives and 800 grandchildren and cousins.
Well, and isn't it strange, Craig, that every Middle Eastern country, we want the dictatorships out. We want the democracy to go in, except Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. It's like hands off there.
Well, the reason, all I could say is, you know, George Bush and James A. Baker III, back in the beginning, 1990, there was a meeting at the White House that declared our new policy with the fall of the Soviet Union and the Berlin Wall. In 1990, the White House held a conference. George Bush Sr. hosted it at the White House, and it was, of course, the infamous Trilateral Commission.
Uh-huh.
And out of their text of it, their task force report and their annual report, which I read openly to the public the very next month when I got my hands on it, called for the dissolution of countries, naming Iraq as the first one to go. And they said at the time that we would disarm Iraq as the first country of all of its capability, nuclear, biological, chemical, and conventional capability. That was the goal in the Middle East, is to take these countries down one at a time and install a regime that would be obedient to the new world order.
That's,
God, I hate that word.
Yeah, but it's true, isn't it?
But it is true, yes.
And you know what? You can't poke holes with what you're saying tonight, Craig. You can't do it, unfortunately. I'd love to say, you know what, I think you're wrong. It's not that. They're not. The Saudis didn't do that. They love it. No, I can't say that. You can't poke holes in this.
Well, you know, every cop, and I got a lot of cops for clients. I don't know if I've ever.
Well, then we got a lot of cops that listen to the show. So
yeah, actually, I just picked up a New York cop from listening to your show. And he lost 70 people from his unit in the World Trade Center.
Oh,
70 from his unit alone.
Yeah.
Which may be a reason why he's now a client. But let me say something very clear. I've worked with federal law enforcement for almost 30 years as a consultant. And every cop works the same way. Though, sort of like the way the lawyers work in their research and the case for Lloyd's of London.
Sure.
And one of the things you have to look at, besides the most obvious is following the money, is who stands to gain the most.
That's right.
By the crime that's committed.
Exactly. It's one of the first things you say.
Precisely.
Who benefits?
Who benefits? And who benefits in us taking out Iraq, the Taliban, blaming it on Osama bin Laden, even though he didn't do it? Who gains the most? Besides, obviously, Israel, is the Saudi regime. They gain the most. Saddam Hussein was their greatest threat in the region. He had an army that was better than the Saudi regime. And Osama bin Laden personally betrayed the Saudi regime. He was their best buddy while the Soviets were in Afghanistan. But as soon as American troops were deployed on Saudi grounds with George Bush Sr. leading that little expedition, then Osama bin Laden turned his sights on the Saudi family.
That's right.
And then, of course, Afghanistan, the Taliban hate the Saudis.
As a matter of fact, did not bin Laden go to the Saudi family Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait and say, we can handle this.
Absolutely.
Let us do it. And then the Saudis said, no, we're going to let the Americans do it.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And when you slap a billionaire that's a little crazy in the face, you know, you tend to get a bad reaction.
You do.
That's, you know, like Ross Perot.
I mean, because none of them are Boy Scouts, are they?
No, and the fact that they are gaining so much from this, and Obama rushed to their aid and reestablished publicly Friday the 16th, right after all these documents came out. This all came out in a flood on the 12th. Now, I'm not crazy, but I know everybody planned it that way.
Thanks to the insurance company.
Because of the insurance company, but they planned on releasing it on the 12th. Right along with, you know, Bob Graham decided to go public with what he had. He had it for months.
Well, and I guess they figured it was inappropriate to do it on 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with by the 16th.
So let's wait a day or two.
Within 4 days, there we have Obama in a press conference standing next to King Saud of Saudi Arabia, saying that we have a special relationship with Saudi Arabia that will continue into the decades.
And you know the king had to know about this.
Of course. He was served before we got it public.
Yeah.
And, of course, Bob Graham. We already knew Bob Graham from all the way back to 2002 had already said nation states were involved and that the FBI confiscated the documents that the 9/11 Commission had at the time. And only that now, just a few months ago, did he discover that the FBI had withheld even more evidence of Saudis in Florida, Arizona, and West Virginia.
See, this adds fuel to the fire that some members of government knew what was coming down with 9/11.
That's going to be the real pickle, because some of the Saudi families and the Bin Laden families, they left before 9/11.
That's right.
Before it. And it was George Bush personally that intervened as the president to stop the FBI from getting that information that they already had at the time into the hands of Bob Graham's commission. And only now do we find out that they withheld even more information besides that which Bush said, get it out of their hands and make it top secret. So we do know that Bush knew. Bush knew something. How much? Well, that's why he needs to be indicted.
Do you think Cheney knew more?
Oh, heavens, yes. I never really believed Bush was the president.
No. I agree with you there.
FDR once said, to correspond to some things that you said in introducing this program, I've heard you say it a few times. Maybe I'll give you an extra one to use. It was FDR that said nothing happens in government by accident.
That's so true. Who benefits? And that phrase, too.
Yes.
So where does this...
We now know who benefited, and we know who's benefiting ongoing. And we know the pipeline is already in place, and we know that we're in Afghanistan forever.
Forever. I agree with you there. We're not coming out of there.
We can't.
And we're not coming out of Iraq either.
And instead of curbing contractors, mercenaries, instead of curbing it, we're actually increasing it. The State Department is now hiring private contractors, mercenaries, to supplant their security forces. Even though it's not in the Pentagon budget, we have to go now to the Senate budget and find out where it's going.
Where in the heck is Gaddafi? Where is this guy?
Well, this is the other story that broke. Our CIA ties to Libya and Libya's intelligence services have also surfaced this week.
Ties to the Gaddafi regime?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, we used Libya as one of the extraordinary rendition sources. We would take people from Guantanamo Bay, and we've got letters where we've actually had Pentagon officials writing speeches for Muammar Gaddafi while we were working hand in glove with his intelligence services. He was considered one of our boys.
Did we turn on him, or did something happen there?
No, we wanted to get rid of him so we could put in a regime that would make deals with Western oil companies and not Russia or China.
Why does Russia and China allow this to happen? I mean, at what point will they say enough is enough?
Well, you know, it's starting to look like China's getting a little edgy over the Palestinian issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also started issuing loans. I don't know if anybody's heard about this in the last couple of weeks, but Russia and China are also now starting to issue loans backed by gold.
Loans backed by gold. That's unprecedented, isn't it?
That is unprecedented because, you know, we bled our own Fort Knox supplies of gold from 700 million ounces in 1949 to less than 150 million ounces today, if there's any even there.
Well, I know. You and I have talked about this. We don't think there's any gold there.
If there is, it's a front. And it's probably just been purchased recently. And, you know, it's sold and purchased, ongoing.
Didn't we talk about soldiers are guarding it with no bullets or something?
That's true. In fact, the History Channel, because of your show, the History Channel came out and interviewed me.
Good. That is amazing.
So, and that is what we discussed, that there, when I was at Fort Knox, there was no gold. But the whole point is that nobody stole the gold. America, our policy for 20 years was to sell Americans' gold off to support the belief that the dollar bill, the Federal Reserve note, as a fiat currency, was as good as gold. But now here's other countries, China and Russia, they're looking at it and they're going, well, we can kick America's butt now that we're on the ropes. We'll start issuing gold.
We're really broke, aren't we?
We are, you and I.
Our country.
Our country being made up of you and I, yes, we're broke. But the people who've gotten away, the bankers who have perpetrated most of this on us, even though other major corporations like GE are directly involved, but it's the banks that really do control much of what's taking place. We've already shifted almost $16 trillion by even modest standards, and $2.5 trillion disappeared from the Treasury, and they say they don't know where it went. But it went to the banks. So, you know,
it always goes to the banks.
We're broke. But the bankers who are destroying this economy, they're recording record profits.
What do you think all of this is for? All of this? A one world government? Bring us down to our knees? What's it all about?
20 years ago, I wrote a paper called FTS 2000. It was that's an acronym for Federal Telecommunications 2000. And part of what they were attempting to achieve 20 years ago is to force a cashless system on this country and put everybody on real time. And they've, to a degree, achieved that in most metropolitan areas. And Americans are so stupid, they're going along with it. They're doing all their banking online. Everything's done with debit cards, credit cards. They want to do away with cash. That was the plan 20 years ago. But as this is coming to fruition, there was one other part of the plan that I wrote about then, but I was very tenuous and, I don't know, a little lame, I suppose, even though I've never been accused of being like that. I didn't want to come out and just say what it is that I really understood they were trying to achieve. And that is, they wanted the Federal Reserve System model.
Everywhere.
In every nation.
Yeah.
And then they intend to reduce it to three regions.
And they will get that done.
They will get this done. There will be three Federal Reserve central banks. There will be a European, an Asian, which will include Russia and China, and then there will be a North American Federal Reserve.
And there's the puzzle. Stay with us, Craig. We're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, and we will take your phone calls with Craig Hewlett on Coast to Coast AM.